don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes. Swain Event, welcome back to the program. And we have AKA Hollywood Chris Lowe, AKA, in this case, Santa Claus, because he delivered the great news at 1 a.m. He couldn't wait to get folks who are awake to break this news, but he broke it as soon as he could. He did it at 1 a.m. this morning. Chris Lowe joins the program. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Jason. It's good to be with you, man. Hey, I have two responses. Number one, maybe I am Hollywood, but I'm not the one in Nashville on Friday night that Bob Seger dedicated Hollywood Nights to. That was you.
Yeah, but you got backstage tickets, though.
Well, that's a story for a different day. The second response would be, hey, everybody's going to be a hard time for dropping that at 1 o'clock. You got to remember, Tim Barber's on the West Coast, man.
That's true.
So these deals get done on, if somebody's got to get a job, they get done on Pacific Coast time. So that's sort of how that all went down. He's supposed to be on campus today, I think, flying in, and I think bringing his family. So, as an alum and as somebody who's known to you for a long time, and you have too, what a great day for Tennessee. What a great day for T. I know I've heard from so many of his teammates that played with him on that 98 team. They're just so excited to have one of their own back and a guy that wanted to be at Tennessee. And that, to me, is the neatest part of this whole story. And we've talked about it on your show. T had a lot of other opportunities. Alabama came hard after him. Auburn came hard after him. He could have been, I think, the play caller, not the coordinator at Vanderbilt. I think he had a similar opportunity at Maryland, certainly as co-OC. Louisville, Scott Satterfield really wanted to get T there and be a part of his staff. And there were other calls as two inquiries. But at the end of the day, T wanted to come home. He wanted to be at Tennessee. He wanted his family, his younger boys, Caden and Kamen, to experience what he did here as a player and as a student. They never really had the chance to do that because he's been coaching elsewhere, a different part of the country. But that, to me, is the neatest part of this whole deal, is that he wanted to be here. He wanted to come home. He wants to help his alma mater get back to where it was when he was here. It's ironic that 20 years, almost 20 years, in 2 weeks after the date, or to the date, there in the desert, when he led Tennessee to a national championship, he's back now as an assistant coach on the staff. And again, in his words, and I think everybody that knows T's words, want to do what he can to help get his alma mater back to playing for championships and at least swimming in those waters again.
Yeah, 20 years to this day, he did that. Well, not to this day, but 20 years ago, he won that championship. And then, his son wins a championship there at Clemson, beating Alabama, which is always good. T has, kids with him, but he also has, kids here. Mari's at Clemson. His daughter goes to college in the state of Tennessee. So he'll have a chance for his kids to be closer together. And I know how cool that is. I lived away from my brother for most of my life. And then the last 2 years of high school, my brother moved to Huntsville. And I know how important that was to me and how cool that was for me. So that will be probably something that I'm sure his kids will be happy to get a chance to see each other a little bit more. Chris, how close was this not happening? Kind of how did it happen and when did it kind of start to develop?
Well, there have been conversations ongoing for a while with T. Between T and Jeremy Pruitt, I think Philip Fulmer was involved as well, which is not surprising. Philip coached him in Tennessee. Philip CAD now, so there have been a lot of conversations over the last few weeks, and again, T had, he talked to other people, and I know Nick Saban was very interested. T and Steve Sarkisian have a really good relationship, worked together at USC, and I know that option was attractive to T, and Sark wanted T. So there were other, I think it went back and forth at times, and T was trying to weigh what was best for him and his family. And, but at the end of the day, I think the thing that kept sort of coming to the forefront for him was that this was his home. This is what he, where he wanted to be. And it was his, you mentioned his kids. I think they were all on board with it, you know, coming back and being around when their dad went to school, when their dad was a legend, you know, when their dad helped bring his alma mater to heights it hadn't experienced in almost 50 years. And of course, winning the championship in 1998. You know, they'd never really been around here. So I think that was a big part of it. And so they were all on board. And I know there were a lot of conversations with he and his family about what was the right thing to do. And T's got a close network of people, friends, that he leans on and he talked to. And I know some of those guys were, well, some of those people were his former teammates at Tennessee. And ultimately, you know, kudos to Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer for getting it done, for making it happen, and understanding that, you know, by no means is T a savior, but you know, already, I mean, and I'm sure you already heard it, that the feedback from the fans has been unbelievable, you know, to have him back. And if he can recruit, I think he will tear it up in his footprint recruiting, especially recruiting to his alma mater. He's been a coordinator. He's called his own plays. He's coached in this league before at Kentucky. He's been different places. I think that's important. He played in the NFL. There's a lot of boxes that he checks.
Mm-hmm.
He can coach different positions. I think they're still finalizing. Everybody wants to know how Jeremy's going to shuffle his staff. I think they're still finalizing that. I know some of the things that were discussed were some type of co-OC title, assistant head coach title. You know, the position, you know, the good thing is he's pretty versatile. He can coach a lot of different positions on offense. You know, so we'll see how that all plays out. You know, USC still paying him. I think they're still on the hook to pay him, Jason, for two more years. So the money part of it wasn't a huge issue because USC is going to pay most of his salary for the next 2 years. So there are a lot of things that, you know, I think that, again, as he sort of weighed everything and looked at all his options and his opportunities, you know, he just kept coming back to, and I don't want to speak for T, but just in talking to people very close to the situation, he kept coming back to that he wanted to be home. He wanted to be where, you know, he has a comfort and a feel, and he knows that he's very aware of what he means to the people of Tennessee. And I think probably a better way of saying it, what Tennessee means to him. And that was important to him.
Should I send Clay Helton a gift basket and a thank you card?
Well, it's funny how things work. You know, it's funny how things work because had T not been part of it, of course, T was probably the only one that got let go. There was really a sort of a purge of that entire USC staff after they dipped to 5-7. And you know the way this business works. When a program takes a dip, the head coach usually has to sacrifice some of his assistants. You know, if he's going to make it, because he's got to show that he's going to change or what his plan is to get it back. And T was part of that purge. Now, granted, the offense wasn't as good this year. There were a lot of reasons for that. They were playing a true freshman quarterback. I think age-wise, should have still been in high school. But the year before, they put up great numbers. I mean, unbelievable offensive numbers. When he had an experienced quarterback, they won the Pac-12 championship. The year before that, his first year as OC, they won the Rose Bowl. So I know as fans and media sometimes, we remember the last, you know, it's sort of the last impression that sticks with you. The last impression is they weren't as good offensively this year. He had a big part of a staff purge and was fired. But two of his 3 years, he was part of the staff and part of an offense that was ultra successful and won a Rose Bowl and won a Pac-12 championship. So I think there's different ways to look at it. Again, I like the fact that T has done different things. You know, he went to USC when Lane was there. He worked with Lane, under Lane. Same with Sarkisian. He was at Kentucky for a while, worked there with Randy Sanders. Go back and look at T's work with some of the guys at Kentucky. You know, what Randall Cobb did at Kentucky and the way they used him and the way they were able to sort of get so much out of him. He was a big part of that. And you talk to other people that work with TJ, Randy Sanders, for instance. I talked to Randy just recently. They rave about T's ability to relate to players, his ability to get the most out of players, see things in players, and Tom's sort of an example of that. So I think it's a good lick for Jeremy Pruitt. And again, you look at what they were able to do to get Jim Chaney away from Georgia and pony up the kind of money they did to get Jim, and now you add T to that equation. I think anybody, even the most neutral observer, stands back and looks at this offseason for Tennessee and looks at what Jeremy's done with the staff, and you got to be impressed.
Chris, how quickly did this come about? Was this a situation where Tennessee and T wanted to get this done all along, or was it a situation where Tennessee saw the interest that Miami, Vanderbilt, Alabama had in T and moved rather quickly after Amari's national championship game?
Well, I mean, I think it had been, like I said earlier, it had been an ongoing discussion. And it had to be right for T. I mean, T wasn't just going to come and take an alumni discount. He wasn't just going to come just because he was Tennessee. He loves Tennessee and wants to be a part of it. But again, he had other opportunities at high-profile schools.
Mm-hmm.
And again, some of these were play-calling opportunities. So there were discussions and things that needed to be worked out, but there had been interest on both sides for a while. And I think just hammering out all the details, it's always a little screwy when another school's paying you. The contract, the language that you got to put in there, because you still got to pay him so much, depending on what your title is. And I think that was tedious, in the last several days or week. But at the end of the day, I think this was something that Jeremy Pruitt always wanted to do. I mean, he wanted to bring T back. He knew how important that was. Philip Fulmer was always on board with this to bring him back. And let's say this for T. T was very disappointed. I mean, it's not a big secret last year that he didn't get in front of anybody. Not that he didn't get the Tennessee head job, but he never really got in front of anybody to interview. And we could sit here and debate all day whether he should have or shouldn't have. But that hurt him. He felt like, if he at least deserved an opportunity to say, hey, this is my vision for the program. This is what I offer. This is my plan. But that never happened. But to T's credit, he got over that. And he let that go. It wasn't something that festered. There were a lot of his teammates who were upset about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Swain, I know you heard from a lot of them.
You know it.
But again, T being the man he is, and was able to sort of rise above that, and now here we are. So I think that says, again, a lot about T, the person and the man.
Yeah.
And what he thinks about his alma mater.
Yep. I mean, you're not going to always agree with every move that's made. You're not always going to be happy. That's just not true. It's not a fairy tale. There's going to be times when you're upset, when you are treated a certain type of way, or you are treated like you should be treated a little bit better. But at the end of the day, it's about your love for this program and understand this program is bigger. And if you have a chance to help, then you take that opportunity. And T is doing that. Juwan Jennings announced that he was coming back. Chris, I'm pretty sure T's happy about Juwan coming back. And I'm wondering if Juwan knew a little bit about T possibly coming in, and did that influence his decision?
I really don't know. I don't want to speak to that because I don't know that definitively. I know that having another guy like that coming back, his experience, can make plays down the field, is something that will make T happy. He's part of that offensive staff. That's the right decision for Jordan. He needs another year in college ball. He needs to continue to grow socially, academically, from a football standpoint. I'm happy for Juwan because I think it's the right decision. It certainly helps Tennessee give them another guy, give Jim Chaney, as he tries to put the pieces in place on offense, to have a guy like that who's a proven playmaker down the field. And I think Jim will figure out ways and do things to make sure they get Juwan the ball.
Chris, with T. Martin and Jim Chaney coming in, I think there are going to be a lot of expectations placed on the offensive coaching staff. What are reasonable expectations in their first year and then maybe jump into the second year?
Well, number one is to get more consistent on offense. You know, we saw the offense flash at times last year. Jim Chaney's style and approach is different than Tyson Helton. And I think a big part of that then is to get Jared Garantano to a point where he's more comfortable, more confident, more consistent. Now, to do that, you got to play better around him. You got to protect him better. And I think that's the thing all year long this year we talked about the offensive line. See, I think Jim's background and working with the offensive line will help a lot in that area because they've got to get better up there and more consistent. And you do that through recruiting, you do that through development, and you're getting better continuity, having guys healthy and play together for longer stretches. You know, you had so many changes last year in the offensive line. You know, they were sort of snake bit with injuries. You know, you losing the center before the season and Trey Smith. There are a lot of reasons for that, but I think to answer your question, more confident, more comfortable, more consistent across the board offensively, better quarterback play, and again, a big part of that is playing better around him. And I think he can help in that area, and certainly Jim Chaney with his experience. The thing I like best about Jim is his commitment to running the football, being able to mix the run with the pass, and being creative enough that they will be able to throw the football. And Jim's been really good with quarterbacks. You know, we go back to Fromm as a freshman, Drew Brees, some of those kids in Arkansas. And he's been a guy where he's been, the quarterbacks have typically gotten better.
Chris Lowe, ESPN. Chris, man, I'm glad that you were able to get up early this morning, man. What time did you go to bed last night?
Oh, Swain, I don't know, man. I'm old. I usually go to bed early. So when I got word last night that something might be cooking, got a little bit of adrenaline pumping. You know, but, as you know, I mean, I go back a long ways. You know, I covered it. My first year at the Tennessee was 97. So my first year covering UT was Peyton's last year. And then my second year was obviously T's junior year, the national championship year. So, you know, for me, knowing him as I do and having been around him and known him for so long, that was a big deal. So when I got the news that it was going to happen, I was excited for him, excited for Tennessee, excited for the fans. You know, it's been a long, tough haul for fans in Tennessee. You know that. You hear them every day. And I think they're starting to see some hope on the horizon. You know, you bring in a Chaney, you bring in T. Martin, they're recruiting well. You know, Jeremy Pruitt, although I still think he's got a bit of a steep learning curve as a head coach, he's learned a lot. I think Jeremy will tell you now, he's a much better head coach now than he was when he came in a year ago. And I think he'll be better next year. And having some of these guys he's bringing into his staff will make them even better. And one thing we know about Jeremy is they don't grind any harder than he does. Okay? They don't recruit and get on the road and pound the pavement any harder than he does. And I think the other thing that fans look at when they start thinking about hope, there's a guy that's running the show now, Philip Fulmer. I mean, Philip Fulmer's learning on the job as an 82 and will have a bit of a learning curve and is learning. But the thing that we all know about Philip Fulmer is nobody is more Tennessee to the core or wants to see Tennessee do better and succeed than Philip Fulmer and has seen it at its height. You know, he's been to the mountaintop and he's been a part of it, you know, as a player, as an assistant coach, as a head coach, and now he's the AD. And I know he's willing to do and pony up and make sure everybody's rolling in the same direction to the point to where Tennessee's going to get there. And I think what you've seen happen this offseason is indicative of that.
Chris, last one, man. Tennessee basketball team going on the road and Gator chomping after the game. You know, you mentioned Coach Fulmer now as an AD and kind of learning on the job. He's going to have probably a tough decision to make if the women's basketball team continues to play like they're playing with Holly Warlick. And I know that he experienced not having success later in his career, being a former player and then being dismissed. I know he's going to approach that with care and will make the right decision that's best for the program moving forward. But he has some really tough decisions to make moving forward. before, but just your thoughts on the men's basketball program and the women's basketball program right now.
Well, I'll start with the men. I go back a long way, and we've talked about this, to the King Grunfeld years. And that was a great, that was so much fun to watch those teams play. I love the early DeVoe years with Dale Ellis, Steve Ray, Michael Brooks. Love those teams. And then and Bruce had obviously some great teams too, and our boy Chris Lofton. I think this team's just fun to watch play with any of those. And all the pieces of the puzzle, the way they push each other. I love the guys that know their roles, Jason, and play their roles. Hal Alexander, John Fulkerson. And the way guys get better to Rick Barnes. I'll say two things about Rick Barnes. First, on the court, his players get better. And that's, you go back throughout his coaching career, his teams get better. I think that's a reflection of who he is and the kind of coach he is. But this is the best thing I can say about Rick Barnes, and I love this story. He's such a credit to the university, not just because he's a good basketball coach, because he's what he's done with his team. He texted me, I don't know, a few hours before the Florida game on Saturday to check on Tony White. They're getting ready to play a big game on the road at Florida, and Rick Barnes is checking on Tony White to see how he was doing. That tells you everything you need to know about Rick Barnes. Hmm. And when they got back, he wanted to know when would be a good time to go see Tony this week. Tony's back at UT Medical for another round of chemo because he wants to go back over there and see him. That's the kind of person, the kind of man. Forget basketball. And that's why the Tennessee fans are so endeared with this team and with him, because they know what kind of man he is. There's for Holly and the basketball and the Lady Vols. Phil Fuller won't make any jerk decisions. He's been down this road himself as a coach. And you know what, with basketball, Jason, does it really matter what's going on right now? I mean, this is a team that's talented enough. They get hot in March and make a deep run in a tournament. Nobody's going to remember that they lost three in a row in January.
Sure.
Now, can she press the right buttons and get this team to that point? I think that's a fair question. I don't know. But there's certainly talent. I mean, it's not like she hasn't recruited well. You know, to get hot and start playing better and playing more consistently. We'll see what she does. And this is a big next month and a half for her and the program. If she does it, and this team continues to sort of flounder, and things starts, you know, continues to hemorrhage, then you're right. Phillip's going to have a tough decision, because remember, he just re-upped her. He just extended her contract. But if this thing really starts to spiral, then yes, that's a hard decision. But I would say, here's what I would say. Let's assess where this team is in mid-March.
Yep.
And go from there.
Yep. Chris Lowe, a.k.a. Hollywood, a.k.a. Santa, for delivering the great news about Tennessee coming home. Chris, thanks so much. And, hey, do us a favor, man. There's a lot of Tennessee fans, you know, excited about T. Martin coming back. And I know sometimes the national media can highlight the negative with this fan base, and they've been vocal and things that they don't like. But I think they're going to be really, really vocal today and over the next couple days about their guy coming home to help Tennessee get back on top. So, man, how about a little bit of love and a little bit of that camera on the Tennessee fan base, because I know it's going to be really fun to kind of watch these folks show T. Martin the love he deserves.
Yeah, well, it's never fair to paint any fan base with a broad brush. You know that, whether it's Bama, Tennessee, Ohio State. It only takes a few of us to screw it up for everybody else. And I think, unfortunately, for the last couple of years, that's probably happened with Tennessee. And people have painted this fan base with a broad brush. Yes, I've heard some of the crazy, but you know what? I hear from far more of the people, generations of fans of Tennessee, grandfathers and fathers and their sons, who've been following this program for 40 and 50 years, who've been there through thick and thin. And as I said, it's nice to see some hope on the horizon, and we'll see what they can do with it. But no, you're right, and I think it's a good day for Tennessee. Good day for Tennessee through and through.
That's right, man. Chris Lowe, man, thank you so much for your time this morning.
You guys take care.
Thank you. Chris Lowe, ESPN, broke the news of T. Martin returning home as assistant coach. One of the best in the business, and he'll be helping Tennessee get back on top and making a move in the SEC.